It's Texaco time with Fred Allen, Roland Young, Wee Bonnie Baker, Portland Hopper, and Al Goodman and his orchestra. This is Arthur Godfrey saying you're welcome for Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Welcome to the Texaco Star Theater and to Texaco dealers' wholehearted help in keeping that car of yours going for the transportation you've got to have. Your Texaco dealer has the skill and the Texaco quality product. They're yours for more miles for your car. His Marfac 40-point chassis lubrication protects every vital chassis part against excessive wear. And especially nowadays, when every mile counts, use his high-quality gasoline, Texaco Fire Chief, or premium Texaco Sky Chief. In short, make a Texaco dealer your car warden and see him regularly. It's his job to help you care for your car for your country. And now, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one comedian in radio you can tune in during a blackout who isn't bright enough to violate the law. And here he is, Fred Allen, in person.
Thank you. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Arthur, how do you like your job?
This announcing's a new racket to me, Fred. I never realized an announcer had so much to do.
Oh, yes. You know, on a program like this, Arthur, the announcer is as busy as a short-tailed cow in fly time. I should make it a short-arm traffic cop for the city, I guess. That's a long joke. You know, besides opening the program, the announcer has to read the commercials, he has to run down the aisle and tickle the audience, Arthur. He has to laugh at the jokes, sweep out the theater, and we're through. Do you think you're going to like it?
There's just one thing, Fred.
Yes, Arthur?
About my salary.
Well, that's all settled. I'll pay you the same as you got last week.
Wait a minute. Last week you said it was an audition and I worked for nothing.
Well, I know, but this week, don't forget, the president froze all salaries as of last week. So you are all set for the duration.
Gee, it's lucky I got a sideline. Peanuts, popcorn.
And while Brother Godfrey passes among us with his wares, let us turn in toto to the latest news of the week. The March of Trivia presents its weekly lowlight from the world of news. New York City, New York. In a sweeping effort to stamp out gambling in Manhattan, mayor orders police to arrest bookmakers and tin horn horse players and to clean up all the city's gambling resorts. To check on the crusade's results, the March of Trivia questioned several victims of horse betting ban. First, odds-on Oscar, a prominent bookmaker, says...
On behalf of New York's 16,000 bookmakers, I want to thank the mayor for showing us the error of our way. We are through with bookmakers. We're going straight.
Well, what are you bookmakers doing now?
We're selling numbers.
Well, have you quit making book personally, Oscar?
Yeah. I experimented camouflaging me joints, but it was no go.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, I tried making book in a pet shop.
Making book in a pet shop, huh?
Yeah, I had a parrot hanging outside. You whispered your bet to the parrot would tell it to me.
Oh, I see. Well, the police finally caught up with you, huh?
Yeah, I got away lucky. The parrot got 20 years.
That was the end of the pet shop.
Yeah, then I opened up a delicatessen on 47th Street.
You were making book in a delicatessen?
Uh-huh. In the window, I had a big smoked tongue.
Oh, a smoked tongue in the window and inside the store?
On the counter, I had 2 dill pickles and 17 telephones.
What happened with the delicatessen?
I got raided last night. I was lucky to get away. I got tipped off.
Well, who tipped you off?
When the cops come to the door,
yeah,
the tongue in the window yelled, "Cheater!"
The man who built a better mousetrap knew how to cheese it, too. And thank you, Odds On Oscar. A plainclothes officer who led a gambling raid, a successful gambling raid, was Commando Detective Shimmick Ball.
Why,
Okay, Tuesday alone I made 600 arrests. The axles on a patrol wagon was red hot.
What? What was your outstanding arrest, Detective Ball?
Well, in a vacant store on 8th Avenue, I seen 20 men kneeling down on a cycle. Looked like a crap game.
And it wasn't?
When I got inside, there was no dice.
What did you do?
I says, look, if this ain't no dice game, what are you 20 guys doing down on your knees?
And?
They says, we're saying goodbye to a midget. He's been drafted.
What did you do?
I knelt down and shook hands with the midget. He rattled.
You mean?
The midget swallowed the dice.
He was nearer to them, perhaps. Well, no kidding.
Yeah, I had him x-rayed. The judge gave him 30 days.
Well, it won't hurt a midget to go up for a stretch, and thank you, Detective Jimmy Ball. A young lady who has some definite opinions on gambling is Miss Veronica Buxbaum. How do you feel about this new gaming crusade, Veronica?
Frankly, I would say the elimination of gambling should be done away with.
Are you unlucky?
Hitler should have mind luck.
Well, why are you so set against gambling?
Thanks to gambling, today Veronica Buxbaum is a spinster.
Tell me, what happened?
Well, for 7 years, I am keeping company with a gambler.
A gambler, huh?
He's calling himself Lucky Feinschreiber.
Was he really lucky?
Lucky? At pinball, he is winning without tilting.
Why, that's uncanny.
He is asking me to marry. I'm saying yes. Always lucky is lucky.
Was the wedding date said?
Everything is hotsa-totsa.
Hotsa-totsa, huh?
Then Lucky is starting to gamble.
Gamble with whom?
Plays the jeweler. Lucky is matching for the ring. He is winning.
Yes?
Nags the license clerk Lucky is tossing for the $2, double or nothing. Again, he is winning.
Yeah?
Ask Klein. Lucky is tossing for my trousseau.
Really?
This he is winning. With 2 pounds rice.
With the trousseau. You are all set for the nuptials.
Not only this, the wedding is ready also.
Fine.
I am quitting Bloomingdale. I'm giving Lucky $200. This should be my dowry.
And your wedding day arrived?
That morning, Lucky is getting a notice from his draft board. Yay.
Something happened?
He is gambling.
Well, how do you mean?
Lucky is betting the draft board. Mom, $200. 7-5, they're not catching him.
And?
Today at Bloomingdale's, I am back.
Yeah.
At the draft board is mom, $200. And at Fort Dix is Lucky Feinschreiber.
He's Private Feinschreiber, hey?
The next time I am seeing Private Feinschreiber, what I am telling him wouldn't be so private.
Well, looks like the private is in for some corporal punishment. And thank you, Miss Veronica Buxbaum. Well, I guess that takes care of
Harry, pray, old jackanapes. Falstaff's here with jibes and japes.
Openshaw, not again.
The Ogden Nash of Flash is at your service.
You have foaled some new odes, have you?
Have you heard, was it Malice Alice when you stomped upon my callus?
No, I haven't heard that.
It was strictly entre nous, so I showed her my tattoo.
No, I haven't heard that.
They wouldn't have taken Mother away in the scrap drive if she hadn't shown her metal.
Now, wait. Tonight, it so happened, we have been talking about the mayor's crusade on gambling.
Precisely why I am here. I have written a song.
Oh, fine.
I have brought the Mineola Mini Singers with me to render it.
Oh, these are the Mineola Mini Singers here?
Yes, the little man was formerly Charles of John, Charles, and Thomas.
Oh. And this other chap?
Oh, he is an entity by choice.
Well, it's all right with me. I won't try. Tell me, can we have them sing this horse song of yours?
I'll feel them out.
I wish you would.
Are we in caroling mood, gentlemen?
Yes, Mr. Openshaw.
Very well. Let us have our horse lament.
East side, west side, all around the town. You can't bet a horse to win or place. All the bookies are closed down. The tin horn sports and brass mouth have been told to take a walk. You can be pinched with a Charlie horse on the sidewalk of New York.
Thank you. And from the Mineola Minute Singers, ladies and gentlemen, we turn to our guest chanteuse this evening, wee Bonnie Baker. Well, how are you this evening, Miss Baker?
I'm fine, thank you, Mr. Allen.
I hear that you became engaged to Lieutenant Aaron Tucker today. Bonnie, may we be the first to congratulate you. You don't mind, do you?
Thank you very much, Mr. Allen.
Would you rather, on this festive evening, would you rather sing something for me, or would you like to have me sing something for you?
I think I would enjoy hearing you sing.
Well, you'd be the only one, Bonnie. I think I'll leave the chanting up to you. Now, what would you like to sing?
I get the neck of the chicken.
Oh, boy, you're lucky. You should see what I get from Lindy personally. Mr. Goodman, if you will.
I get the neck of the chicken, I get the rumble seat ride, I get the leaky umbrella, everyone shoves me aside. When I jump in my shower each morn, sure I say I'm too late, all the hot water is gone. I get the neck of the chicken, I get the hand-me-down shawl, and when there's company weekend, I get the couch in the hall. That's why I can't get over this dream that's come true. If I get the neck of the chicken, how did I ever get you? I get the neck of the chicken, I get the burnt piece of toast, I get the seat in the movie, smacko in back of a post. When morning papers come to the door, sure I say I'm too late, and they're mine long about four. I get the guy with the glasses wearing an awful toupee. Somebody else gets the victim a tour. Mine's always strictly foray. That's why I can't get over this fine howdy-do. If I get the neck of the chicken, well, how did I ever get you?
Very nice, Mrs. Tucker, to be.
No, let me go. Don't do that.
Come along, brother, right up to the mic.
Wait a minute. What is this, Arthur? Who is this gentleman you're dragging up here by the scruff of the pantaloons there?
This character, Mr. Allen, is a rubber shrugger.
Well, what is a rubber shrugger?
A rubber shrugger?
Grapes, nuts, flakes. That's what I
A rubber shrugger is a guy that just shrugs when you tell him about wasting rubber.
Uh-huh. Now, who was wasting rubber? I was only driving my car.
At 60 miles an hour you were driving. That's why I borrowed you from that cop. Look, brother, do you realize that when you drive at 60, you wear out your tires twice as fast as you do at 35?
Twice as fast? No kidding.
Not only no kidding, you keep it up and you'll have no tires.
So what? I see by the papers I can get new tires now.
Yeah, but you may also have noticed that to get new tires, you'll have to drive under 35 and give your tires proper care.
Oh.
And 60 per is not proper care.
No.
You've got to remember that your car and my car and everybody's car is a part of the stream of transportation that takes America to work and to school and to market.
Uh-huh.
If you let your tires go bluey, you're just not going to be allowed to buy new ones and your car's going to be out of action. And if everybody does that, going to slow the whole country down.
I say, I never thought of that. I'll stay under 35 from now on.
Attaboy. And listen, you know when your car passed me with those squeaks, it sounded like breakfast time in a bird shop.
No kidding.
Now, if you pardon the plug, you'll permit the plug. You should drive into your Texaco dealer for his Marfac 40-point chassis lubrication service and get those squeaks out. That Marfac service really protects your car. And while you're there, remember, nowadays, when every mile counts, it's smarter than ever to use your Texaco dealer's high-quality gasoline, Texaco Fire Chief, or premium Texaco Sky Chief.
interrupt Mr. Goodman's rendition of Kalamazoo at this time. It was sung earlier tonight by Mr. Phil Harris, who sounds like Skinny Innes on key. Mr. Goodman didn't quite get the Kalamazoo. The song stopped two bars this side of Battle Creek.
Mr. Owens!
Well, Portland. Say, this is a fine time to show up, Portland. You know, we're only on for half an hour this year. Now, if you come any later than this, you know, you're going to start showing up in the middle of Phil Baker's Take It or Leave It program. What? Now, how come you're so tardy?
Well, I was overtaking Mama her lunch.
Lunch? Well, it's almost 10 o'clock.
I know. Mama's on the night shift.
The night shift where?
Mama's a welder in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. She's wearing goggles and slacks.
Well, your mother had better not bend over in those slacks. Somebody will hit her with a bottle and launch your mother for an invasion. how is your mother doing on the job over there?
The first day, Mama welded her foreman to the superintendent.
Well, that's good. They'll get paid double time from now on.
The shipyards are building boats faster every day.
Oh, I know that. You know, Henry Kaiser's building boats so fast that workers in the yard think they have astigmatism, and it's only portholes going by.
They're building all kinds of new boats, too.
Well, there isn't anything new in the way of boats, Portland. You know, all the boats you see today are mentioned in that book, Around the World in 80 Days. You know who wrote Around the World in 80 Days?
Wendell Wilkie?
Wendell will do better than that if he doesn't stop to talk. You know, Say, somebody's at the door. Come in. Yes?
Is this the Texaco canteen?
Why, it's Roland Young.
I hope I'm not too late, old boy.
Too late for what, Mr. Young?
Show isn't over, is it?
Looking at you, I would say yes, Mr. You have something in mind?
Yes, the sponsor sent me over. It's about your first show last week.
Oh, did you hear our opening program last Sunday?
Yes. Bit of the old P.U. What?
You're not supposed to smell radio programs, Mr. Young. You're supposed to listen to them.
But a radio program coming out of a loudspeaker has to pass the nose to get to the ears.
So?
Your program last Sunday didn't quite make it.
You say our sponsor sent you over?
Yes, I'm here to whip things into shape, start the ball rolling, give the proceedings a bit of the old rooty toot.
Oh, you have some changes for the show in mind, have you?
Mm-hmm. First, we'll have to get rid of this orchestra.
Oh, now, wait. You can't break up Mr. Goodman's band. Why, this is the only chance Mr. Goodman has to see his whole family together.
His music is icky. Strictly long hair. What this show needs is a jive combo. A band with some real swingaroo.
Swingaroo? You know of such a band?
Just got the man. Rodney Smith Bennington and his gut bucket gondolier.
Rodney Smith Bennington and his gut bucket gondolier, you say?
They're playing in a little tea shop on 57th Street.
Well, look, Mr. Young, if they're happy in the tea shop...
No, Rodney wants to get away. People are always throwing wet tea bags into the French horn.
Well, he won't like it here with a French horn. Our audience chews tobacco, Mr. People are, if the band is the only change you have in mind, Mr. Young.
No, I have a few pointers for you too, old boy.
Oh, about my comedy?
Yes, after all, let's face it, old man, you are the corny type, you know.
I am corny, you say?
Definitely, but stiff up a lip, old boy. With a little training, you can be a second Red Skelton.
Red Skelton? Well, what has Red Skelton got that I couldn't have lifted?
He dooted, old boy. You didn't.
Why, I have been a comedian for 30 years.
That's just it. Just the point is, about time you were getting some new jokes.
New jokes in radio?
I'll rip off a screamer to give you an idea, right?
Oh, you have jokes? Well, what is this screamer you have?
You say to me, I speak six dead languages.
All right. I speak six dead languages.
It's too bad I'm not a corpse, old boy. I'd have a long talk with you.
Very Very, very clever.
That's what this program needs. More of that sort of thing.
Well, tell me, Mr. Young, how did you acquire your flair for the trite?
Oh, I come from a theatrical family.
Oh, yes. You know, I've seen your family crest. It's a ham rampant on a field of catcalls. I've seen it many times.
My grandfather was on the stage years ago.
Oh, your grandfather was an actor?
Yes, he died and left in the state of one bamboo cane, 40 Pullman towels, a book of bad press notices, and a piece of nose putty.
A bit of nose putty, huh? And that's why you... I'm looking ahead to next week's show, Mr. Young. That's why you went into the theater?
Yes, I got my first job in London.
Acting?
Not exactly. I was hired to beat the woodpeckers off the Herbert Beerbohm tree.
Oh, you beat the woodpeckers? You're really a self-made man.
Yes, but if I had to do it over again, I think I'd call in somebody.
I see your point. Well, tell me, Mr. Young, now that you've fixed up my program, are you going back to Hollywood?
No, I'm here in New York to do a play.
Oh, a drama?
No, it's a little romantic trifle. You know, Act One, Esmeralda, I love you. Act Two, Malcolm, you can't do this to me. Act Three, he does. Quick curtain.
Sounds rather interesting. It's strange that you're coming here, Mr. Young. You know, I've been thinking of going to Hollywood. Charlie Lawton was here last week and told us that most of the glamour boys are in the army and leading men are scarce.
That's true, Fred. At your age, you should get plenty of work out there.
Why, I hear that they're casting W.C. Fields in the next Andy Hardy picture. It's called Love Finds Andy Hardy, but it's too late. You know W.C. Fields, of course.
Yes, I saw Bill just before I left Hollywood.
Well, how is the old boy?
Bill's doctor made him give up drinking brandy. It was giving him the shakes.
Well, how does Bill look, better?
Definitely worse.
He looks worse after giving up the brandy?
Yes, the shakes were the only exercise Bill ever got.
Well, I haven't seen Bill in a picture lately. What is he doing these days?
Bill's too busy to make pictures. He's in great demand at all the ship launchings.
Oh, you mean he christens the ships?
When they run out of champagne...
Yes.
As the ship slides down into the water...
Yes.
Bill breathes on the hull.
The last time I saw Bill out in Hollywood, he breathed on me and removed four spots from my vest.
I see he didn't get them all.
But tell me, are you enjoying your stay here in New York?
I've been having quite a bit of trouble, Fred. I can't get anything to eat here.
You can't eat? Why, all the restaurants have those dollar dinners.
My trouble. All those dollar dinners start with a shrimp cocktail. And if there's anything I can't stand, it is a shrimp cocktail.
Well, you don't have to eat the shrimp cocktail,
Roman. Oh, don't I? Come with me and I'll show you what happened.
All right. There's a little place around the corner here called Pierre's. Let's go.
Welcome to Pierre's. How many, please?
A table for two.
Ah, here we are.
Thank you.
And here are your menus, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll find Pierre's dollar dinner very nice, gentlemen.
That's how it always starts, Fred.
Well, now what happens, Roland?
Well, the waitress generally shows up now.
Did you gents give your orders?
No, we're just looking over the menu, miss.
The dollar dinner is the speciality of Pierre's.
We'd rather order a la carte.
You can't order a la carte. It confuses the chef. What's yours, mister?
Well, I'm not eating. I just came in with my friend here.
Then give me back the napkin. What's yours, mister?
I'll have the dollar dinner.
It's delicious. Which appetizer will you have, herring or shrimp cocktail?
I don't like shrimp cocktail. I'll take the herring.
We're all out of herring. All we've got is shrimp cocktail.
All right, I'll take the dollar dinner without the shrimp cocktail.
Without the shrimp cocktail, it ain't the dollar dinner.
Now, look, miss, please, bring it in. I'll eat the shrimp cocktail.
That makes it a la carte. We don't serve a la carte. It confuses the chef.
Now, look. My friend here doesn't like shrimp cocktail.
No, shrimps give me vertigo.
Yes, I will eat the shrimp cocktail on his dollar dinner. Now, what's the difference?
There's a big difference. If you eat the shrimp cocktail, it ain't his dollar dinner no more.
Well, all I
want... If you want a shrimp cocktail, you gotta get your own dollar dinner.
Well, I don't want to eat.
So what are you butting in for?
This is what happens every time, Fred.
Well, I'll straighten this thing out, Roland. Miss, call the head waiter, please.
Okay. Maitre D.
Yes, Maisie.
These gentlemen.
Oh, yes, sir. What seems to be the trouble?
I'm ordering the dollar dinner.
Ah, you'll start with the shrimp cocktail, of course.
I don't want the shrimp cocktail.
All my friend here wants is the dollar dinner without the shrimp cocktail.
Oh, without the shrimp cocktail. Well, that'll be the 65-cent merchant special.
Yes, well, that sounds bully. Bring me the merchant special.
Very good, sir. We're having a surprise entree on the merchant special today. It comes with crevettes en glace.
What is that crevette en glace?
Shrimp cocktail.
But I can't eat the shrimp cocktail.
Well, what do you want with a 65-cent dinner, goldfish?
Now, wait a minute. You tuxedo jerk. This man here is hungry. You have got more food on your dickie than he has had to eat in the last 3 days.
Wait a minute. Don't yell at me. I don't own the place. I only work here. I ain't got no authority. You'll have to see the chef.
Well, get the chef in here.
Yes, sir. Hey, chef!
Hey, que voulez-vous? Toujours les arguments. I am myself the chef. What is the difficulty, you see?
No difficulty, old boy. I merely ordered the dollar dinner.
Oui.
Can he get the dollar dinner?
Oui.
Without the shrimp cocktail.
Without shrimp cocktail, no. It is impossible.
But why does he have to have the shrimp cocktail?
Look, I myself, the chef, am personally to prepare the shrimp cocktail. Who is not eating the shrimp cocktail is making insult to me.
But I can't eat shrimp.
They give him vertigo.
Who are you? I wouldn't cook for you. No, monsieur, not monsieur.
I should think I was Laval the way he went out
come
of here.
Come on, Fred, let's go.
Now, wait a minute, Roland. I'll get the owner of this joint. Waitress, miss.
Yes, sir.
Get the Frenchman who owns this place out here.
Hey, Pierre!
Always a mishmash. Who is calling Pierre? What is cooking?
Nothing's cooking. That's the trouble.
Yes, my friend here wants something to eat.
So he'll eat. Who's stopping him? Pierre is taking the order.
My friend wants the dollar dinner.
So stop yelling. He'll get the dollar dinner. First is coming out shrimp cocktail.
But he wants the dollar dinner without the shrimp cocktail.
This I couldn't do it. With the dollar dinner has got the coming shrimp cocktail.
But I can't eat the shrimp cocktail.
Listen. Listen, buddy, on the dollar dinner, my own brother has got to eat shrimp cocktail.
Pierre.
So what?
This man is faint.
He got hungry. I didn't send for him.
I'm starving.
You've got to give him something to eat.
If he wouldn't eat shrimp cocktail, he's breaking up our dinner. Then Pierre is closing up tonight. He will have one shrimp cocktail left over. My books wouldn't bear it. I should go through life always with one shrimp cocktail left over.
But you must have something in the kitchen you can give him.
Yes, I'll take anything, even raw meat.
Okay, raw meat I could give you.
At last, Roland, now you're all set.
Good, give me an order of raw meat.
Coming up. One raw meat!
Raw meat!
Raw meat! Raw meat! Shrimp cocktail!
Thank you. Next Sunday night, ladies and gentlemen, our singing guest will be Benet Venuta from the Broadway hit By Jupiter, and our featured guest will be Mr. Orson Welles. And now, Arthur, have you anything to add?
Just a scrap, Fred. The scrap piles in every city are mounting higher and higher, but more and more is needed. You see, practically everything we need to win this war is made one half from scrap metal. Tanks, planes, aircraft carriers, everything. Throw your scrap into the fight.
Thank you, Arthur. This is Fred Allen speaking for Texaco dealers from coast to coast, reminding you to drive under 35 to save rubber and to drive into your Texaco dealer regularly to have your tires checked. Remember, you're welcome. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.